Turn to Revelation chapter 1. And we'll begin to read at verse 1 through to verse 18. Revelation and chapter 1. Begin to read at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are at Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loveth us, loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white as light wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So reads God's holy word. Well, it's good to have a heading to think what we're talking about. So the heading I've got this morning is different, yet not different. Different, yet not different. And that's why I read Isaiah chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 1, because we can see the difference there. Colossians 1 and verse 19, Colossians 2 and verse 9, it tells us there that it pleased the Lord that all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Paul tells us in Colossians that the whole of the Godhead dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Bible says that Jesus was fully God. And some places they deny this, but the Bible specifically says that Jesus is God. And then when we read John chapter 19 and verse 5, and this is I could have described Jesus in other ways, but I find this one gives a vivid description of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 19 and verse 5, it's when he was in trial and he was produced to the people and he said, "Behold the man." Now, why I chose this one to describe him, because it describes that he was fully man. Because Isaiah describes him as marred more than any other. Now, if he wasn't fully man, and he could have done this, because he's fully God, he could have not allowed himself to be marred and to be produced by Pilate, unrecognizable because of his face is so battered, his back is ploughed. It tells us in the scriptures that they ploughed my back, they scourged him. He pierced his head and his hands and his feet, and they pierced his side. Now, to me, that describes a man because he died. So Colossians tells us that Jesus is God, fully God. But the scriptures also describe him that he is fully man. But the only difference is that he was a sinless man. He was the Holy Son of God. He had no sin. But he had everything that we had. It tells us there that he had blood. It tells us there in Jeremiah that he has the thinking thoughts. And these are important things that we must realize and believe, that Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. He's the only one who has ever lived on this earth who's had two natures. His natures didn't merge together and become one. They were separate. That's why he could say, as a man, when he was talking to his disciples, "No one knows when that time will come but the Father." He was speaking as a man then, but as God he knew, of course, because he was part of the Godhead. So he was different because he was fully God. Yet he wasn't different because he was fully man. All the fullness of the Godhead. And Pilate says, "Behold the man." And Isaiah chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 1 shows the difference quite plain, that he was fully human and that he was fully God. Isaiah chapter 9, which I read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and upon his shoulders and his name shall be called. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end." That talks about a man. It talks about him being a full man. But it also says that he is a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And it talks there about with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform us. That describes these two things. Different, and yet not different. Isaiah chapter 9 describes a full man, and it describes a full God. And when we come to Revelation chapter 1 and verse In the verses there, it tells us again, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, there's a man. God doesn't have blood. God is spirit, eternal spirit. But because God was manifested in the flesh, then he was like a man, or he was a man. And it tells us there that he had blood. So it describes a man. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. It talks about him. Again, it talks about a man. Jesus Christ was a full man. His description as John saw him, his head and his hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. What does that describe? It describes a man. He has a voice, he has eyes, he has feet. But it also describes God. Look at verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of heaven. So Revelations describes a man, and it also describes God. And there we have the different, yet not different. He is different in that he is fully God, but he's not different from us because he is fully man. Christ became what he wasn't. He became what he wasn't, and yet he remained what he was. He became what he wasn't, he became a man. And he remained what he was as God. And this God describes himself as the one who loved us with an everlasting love. This God describes himself as the one who has come to save sinners, to pay a ransom for sinners. My dear friends, the Christian's God is the only God. The Bible describes hundreds of gods. But it describes them as having things that we would have, tongues and noses and eyes and feet and hands, but they cannot move. They have to be nailed to the floor. And they can do no miracles. But our God is the God of miracles. He changes lives. He changed my life. He took me from the world and made him his very own. These are important matters, my dear friends. Christianity is the only saving religion. And some people say, well, Christianity is not a religion, but it is a religion because James, at the end of his epistle, talks about true religion. It's looking after orphans and widows and keeping yourself spotless. That's the true religion. It's a religion that receives. And it's not a religion that has to give. I just mentioned, I think it was on Thursday, concerning the 450 prophets who were giving and giving to their God, but the God could do nothing for them. And Elijah just said a few words and something happened. That which had been soaked three times with water, and there was a pool of water around the animal that was going to be sacrificed. And he just said a few words and flames come down from heaven and consumed it. This is God. This is the God. And Jesus Christ is the second person in the Godhead. God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to what Jesus has to say." And what does Jesus have to say this morning? "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Now that's a double yoke. It's not a single yoke for these women that used to carry pails, just one yoke, and carry the two pails. This is a double yoke. This is a yoke that was used for oxen. And he says, "I'm wearing this yoke, but there's a spare one next to me. Come and join me and learn from me." My friends, have you come to Christ this morning? Have you been yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Oh, my dear friends, he's different. Of course he's different. But then again, he's not different because he's one of us. Without sin, I have to say that, without sin. But he had everything that I've got. He's got a heart, he's got kidneys, he's got a liver, he's got everything that I have. He still has it. We have a man in heaven. He ascended from Mount Olivet. He ascended as a man, and the angel said to the disciples, "This same Jesus, as you see him go, he'll come again." And we read there in Revelations, he'll come on the cloud. He went in the cloud, and he'll come on the cloud. We need to consider him. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12 tells us, consider him. Why consider him? What's so special about that? And we'll get to that in a minute. What's so special about him? That was the question that was asked a young lass. And she kept talking about the one that she loved. Consider him. What has he done? He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Consider him. Have you considered Christ this morning? That was the question that a young girl was asked. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? In other words, what they were saying to her was, what's so special about him? You can ask me the same question. What was so special about my wife that I married her and not someone else? Song of Songs, I always try to get something from the Song of Songs because I love that book. But that was the question set for the young Shumalite concerning the one she loved. What's so special about him? If you've never read Song of Solomon, get your Bible open and get into Song of Solomon. It's a lovely book, a lovely story, a love story. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge? And the people have asked me, what's so special about Jesus? Did he not die on the cross? If he's God, how can he die? Well, as God, he can't die. That's why he became a man. That's why he took upon himself flesh and blood, that he might taste death for us. And the description she gives, and you notice the description that she does, you know, that's Song of Songs chapter 5 and verses 9 to 16. The description she gives are all descriptions of things that God has created. We wouldn't give this description today of a young lady or a young man. But she knew what she was doing. They would have understood it. And it's all wonderful things that God has created. This is what she uses to describe the one that my soul loves. Can you say that this morning? He's the one my soul loves. My dear friend, There has to be a miracle before you can say he's the one my soul loves. Because before the miracle happens, he's the one my soul hates. That's what Paul tells us in Romans, that when we were yet sinners, when we were yet his enemies hate each other. Don't tell me you never hated God, because the Bible says that you were born to hate God. When we were yet sinners, when we were without strength, when we were still his enemies, Christ Jesus came and gave himself for us. So the miracle has to happen before you can say, he's the one my soul loves. And I tell you today, he's the one my soul loves. I love him because he first loved me and he gave himself for me. Now get yourself into a mosque. Get yourself into a Sikh temple or all these other places. And ask those who are in charge to say such words as these. What does your God promise me? He promises nothing, because they don't exist. There's only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's different, yet not different. He is fully God and fully man. And this is her testimony when they say to her, what's so special about your one that you love? Well, he's the chiefest among 10,000. Now, in them days, 10,000 would be a large number. It's nothing today. 10,000 is really nothing. We would be talking about millions. And if somebody asked me about the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say he's the chiefest among 10 million. He's altogether lovely. When he's the chiefest among 10,000, she's talking about his outward appearance. And that was a description that she gives. She's talking here about his outward appearance. This is what he looks like. This is why he's the chiefest among 10,000. But when she comes to say he is altogether lovely, she's talking about his inside. Because she's talking about his words. And his words come from his heart. And this is how she describes him. She describes him, his looks are better than anything else. And his inside, his compassion and his love. That's why he's the one my soul loves. He loved me. Now it's usually the man that proposes. And here with a Shumalite, she's talking about the one she loves, the king. And he's coming. And no doubt he's the one that suggested the wedding. And he's coming to her. And when she's seen him and she's been with him, and she knows what he's like inside, and she knows what he looks like outside, she can say nothing but, he's the one my soul loves. Oh, my friends, can you say that this morning? It's so important, because your eternal soul depends upon it. Where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity, there's no doubt about that. But where? Is there many eternities? Is there many places in eternity? My friends, the Bible says there's only two. And Jesus tells us himself there's only two places. There's heaven and there's hell. You and I are destined to go to one of these places. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying it. The Bible says that. When it speaks about Judas, it says Judas went to his own place. to his own place. And that wasn't heaven, it was hell. And when we read Matthew chapter 25, it talks about these two places. Jesus is the judge, and he talks about these two places in Matthew chapter 25. You'll either go to the place that the Father has prepared before the foundations of the earth, or you'll hear these terrible words, terrible, terrible words. Be gone, I never knew you. When preachers are preaching, they're preaching soul-saving things. And to listen to them, sometimes you think they are soul-destroying things. But they're not. They are soul-saving things. I was saved when I was 37. I've never been so happy. I've had lots of problems, but I've never been so happy. Because every day I know that if the Lord should come for me, that's why I can lay my head on the pillow. I don't sleep very well, but when I do fall asleep, I know that maybe I'll wake up and the first thing I'll see is the same thing that Bartimaeus saw when he opened his eyes, and that was the Lord. Bartimaeus was born blind. And the Lord Jesus came to Jericho and he healed him. And the first thing that he saw was Jesus' face. And that's what the Christian will see when he dies. His soul will be taken to be with Jesus. And then when the general resurrection comes, the first thing he will see is Jesus. He's coming in the clouds. And as it says there, every eye shall see him. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you'll still see him. Because that's what he says in Matthew chapter 25. There'll be those on his left hand side, there'll be those on his right hand side. Which one are you? I know which I am. I know where I stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. For 37 years, I was building houses on sand. But after I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I started to build on a rock. And Jesus Christ is that rock. Altogether lovely. That's the testimony of a young woman. It's my testimony. And it's the testimony of all those who have been born again. He is the one my soul loves. He is the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a description of the two places that I'm talking about. Heaven and hell. Perish and be with him. Time is gone. Maybe I'll try and finish this tonight. There's still things to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never stop talking about Jesus. It's like the young lad when he first falls in love. His mates are sick fed up of him talking about his new girlfriend. Oh, she's lovely. She's fair and oh, this and another thing. That's what the Shulamite was doing about Solomon. And the young virgins from Jerusalem were getting a bit fed up with it. What makes him so different? And she tells them. And what makes my Saviour so different from all the other Saviours? Well, I've just told you. He is fully God. And he is fully man. Let's pray.